Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Oh my goodness. Oh man, that British Grand Prix is, I put it on Twitter, that is an instant classic.
I am looking at the TV and I think, and Lewis is talking to Tom Cruise, and there's only one thing that Lewis can say really is, "So Tom, did you feel the need?"
That race, I said it, that was the best race I've ever seen.
I think so.
Bob?
Well, you know, having him there, you know, riding the coattails of Top Gun Maverick in dogfights and what have you.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody who thinks Formula One is not competitive needs to look at that race.
Yeah.
Just look at the last 10 laps of that race.
Just cut the last 10 laps out, much less everything that happened. That was unbelievable.
And for the cynics like myself who've loved and lost and loved and lost Formula One over the years because we've had, I don't like DRS, I don't like certain things. There's been years that have been fallow when it comes to real excitement. Last year ignited us all again. And this has brought me, after 30 years of following this, just right, like giddy as a 13-year-old.
I was looking at my notes. I couldn't even take notes. Every time I'd sit down, I'd have to jump up and look at the TV again.
I mean, you can't ask for drama.
Away.
No, you can't ask for more.
Go ahead. Not look away. And I'll say this for Carlos Sainz right now. Yep. I was a complete doubter about Carlos. I thought he had everything a potential race winner needed, except he just didn't seem to be able to close the deal, to bring it all together, tire management, race management, you know, all the things you need. I thought, well, I guess, you know, 149 races, Carlos just doesn't have it. Today, he won the way a champion wins. He never gave up. He had aggressive passes, aggressive defenses. And most importantly to me, he stood up to his team.
I was about to say,
when he knew, I can win this race. You know, Charles has had his chances. I can win this. Let me win it. You know, good on it. I was wrong about Carlos. He is a race winner and a championship contender.
I agree, Bob. You know, he beat everybody and Ferrari because Ferrari quite literally said, and by the lobbying of Leclerc, I'm faster, let him by. And he said no. And when they were under safety, the line that I will not forget is what he said. He said, don't make things up. Don't start talking this way. I'm under pressure.
Yes.
Leave me alone. And that was brilliant.
The first time he let Leclerc by, no question, Leclerc was quicker. But then you know, the cards fell differently. And at the end of the race, Leclerc was on used hards. Sainz was there with plenty of car under him and fresh reds, the soft tires. And he said, you know, no, this is BS. I can win this race. Let me do it. And then you saw Mattia Binotto, the team principal for Ferrari, with his finger in the face of Charles Leclerc, warning him, okay, you're disappointed. Do not go throw the team under the bus for the decisions we made or the way we executed your pit stops or whatever it was. Carlos won fair and square. You finished fourth because you were out there on the wrong tire at the wrong time against some of the fastest guys in the world. There's no dishonor in that. Just keep the team concept uppermost in your mind.
And you know what? It's also thrown the championship into with Verstappen. I also think, I still think, and I've said this to John just a moment ago, Verstappen finished seventh, holding off Mick Schumacher. But will he get a penalty, a five-second penalty, because he took Mick out?
The stewards have noted it. So, yes, this could happen. Yeah. If he gets a five-second penalty, move him down to ninth. If he gets worse, he's out of the points.
And this brings Sainz, Perez, and Hamilton into the championship fight.
Guys,
although Perez may have to answer to the stewards himself.
Yeah, yes.
Because when we had that, Hamilton went by two drivers in one corner, and then they came back by him, but Perez muscled Leclerc out of the way by going behind the curb. That may wind up costing him. I think he might have been ahead at the time, but, you know.
No, I think, Bob, they already said that there is, they said that the stewards have said that there's no further investigation for Perez and Hamilton or Perez and Leclerc for leaving the track.
Awesome. And awesome. Ask my wife in the next room. I kept saying, stewards, stay out of it.
I said the same thing to
Jonathan.
We
were saying the same. And Bob, how about this? When did we last say these words? Five different manufacturers in the top six.
Wow.
Exactly. And when did we say two Spanish speakers on the podium?
Yes.
Never, I don't think.
No.
Oh, my
Perez,
gosh.
Also, Perez's race is well worth analysis. He stayed out on the hards for a long, long, long time waiting for that safety car, and it came. That's what got him up there.
Bob, the first thing that Jonathan and I said when the race was over, we said, I have to watch that again and again, multiple times. This is just...
Yeah.
And what about Alonso?
Oh.
How about Alonso?
Oh, yeah. Alonso came into it at the end. I was like, yes! Yeah.
There's some fight in the old mule after all.
Yeah.
He's got it there. And Lando was right there. I'm sure at some point it crossed the minds of both drivers. These guys up ahead of us are going to wind up in the wall the way they're racing. So I could pick up something here. And, of course, didn't happen that way. But good job by all of them.
And can I be the only Englishman that reminds Americans that American won in F2 and Haas got 2 point scorers in the points.
Two cars. Awesome. Just awesome stuff.
You know what? Let me read that.
So many stories.
Let me just run down this.
You know, Guan Yu Zhou.
Yeah.
After that, you know, it's kind of an unwritten rule in television that when a big crash happens, you don't show anything.
And that's why I knew,
until you know the status of the drivers. And I mean, they didn't show anything, any kind of a replay. And I thought, oh my God, this is not good. And then when I saw the replay of him clearing the tire wall and the concrete barrier and getting into the catch fence, I thought, oh my gosh.
That was crazy, the way the car went sideways into the gravel, flipping upside down, but the way it pole vaulted over the tire wall. I mean, it dug in and flipped horizontally over that tire wall. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But they showed him afterwards, Bob.
They're going to take a close look.
Right as we were going on air, the television, they showed him, Zhou Guanyu, and he was okay, walking around, doing great. So
yeah, he was talking with Domenicali and Vasseur. Yeah, I saw that. Great to see. And apparently Alex Albon, who hit the inside wall hard with the nose of the car, is also out of the hospital and back at the track, according to the commentators, which is news all around. It's just icing on the cake of an awesome day.
All right. Well, let me read this, guys. Let me just read this top 10 and just sit back and enjoy this. It's Carlos Sainz with his first win ever at his 150th Grand Prix, followed by Perez, who's your driver of the day, chosen by F1 fans. Then Lewis Hamilton, fantastic, a Brit on the podium. Then Charles Leclerc. Then Alonso, Lando Norris, Max Verstappen with his broken car down in seventh. Right behind him, Mick Schumacher, who battled him for the last couple of laps. Sebastian Vettel up into the points at ninth.
And that's a great story, too. Aston,
I know.
Ninth and 11th from the back.
And then Kevin Magnussen, the other Haas car in the points like we talked about. Then Stroll, Latifi, Ricciardo down in 13th. Tsunoda was the last car to finish. And then the others, Ocon, Gasly, Bottas, Russell, Zhou Guanyu, and Alex Albon did not finish the race.
Amazing. Just amazing. And there is somewhat of an irony of Tom Cruise being almost the star guest there, because it really was a Maverick-like performance by everybody. I mean, it was just an amazing
The
race.
Camera sure loved Tom today.
Didn't it? Yeah.
And, you know, who'd have guessed we would have said today, Lewis Hamilton in the lead were the first laps he has led this year.
Yep.
10 races in.
That's what I mean. You know, that's the footnote story, that this championship, this 2022 championship for Lewis Hamilton, began today. He's had no luck whatsoever. The car's not been right. And there was an inkling of in Canada that, you know, maybe that Silverstone would be, you know, happier place for the Mercedes. And I know there was a lot of other circumstances that played in, but there's no question that we now have a three-way battle at the front if, you know, on normal tracks.
Three-way? I more than that after today.
Yeah.
Six-way.
I'm joking a little, but watching Alonso up there and Lando, I mean, today was just unbelievable. Unbelievable. We didn't have, just to introduce everybody, it's John Massengill, that's Jonathan Green, Bob Barsha, and Les Kaiser, and Chris Medlin, who's at Silverstone, will be joining us shortly, and we'll see who he's going to be able to get for us. Hopefully he's got some better Wi-Fi, but apparently with the 4 zillion people inside of Silverstone, there's hardly any service up there. So
now every attendee is there, too.
Yeah.
Just wanting to tweet.
But what an amazing race. I mean, just... we have so many stories to talk about too, and I'm just looking down I was thinking about Max Verstappen. Think about the championship right now. He finished about a second ahead of Schumacher, and about 4 seconds ahead of Vettel. So that if he does get a penalty, 5 seconds would put him down to ninth, and for sure. So.
I really do think of all the incidents I saw, I thought Perez was minimal, but we were watching the onboards, and I thought that Schumacher was really given. He eventually gave in, knowing that Verstappen was not going to budge because he wanted those points, but he could have got past him, and he didn't get the chance.
You know, the other call that I really loved was, and it proved right, was Sainz. No, you know, give me one lap.
Yeah.
To keep my spot, basically. And it proved he had it, which to me, honestly, is that really upped the credibility of Sainz to me, because I was continuing to expect him to be the number two driver behind Leclerc. I didn't expect him to last the entire race competitively.
Mm-hmm. Well, he had a mistake or two. I mean, because on lap 10, I remember he had a mistake that let Max pass him.
Well, and that's why I didn't put him in as my podium. And so, but hey, glad to be wrong.
Yeah. Bob, what else? I mean, I just see you grinning ear to ear.
You know, it's a afterglow, you might want to call it. It's just such a spectacular race. You just don't know where to start. The variety, the way the advantages swept back and forth. You know, I thought the commentators were spot on just about everything. And, you know, it was just such an enjoyable time. I remember when the race finally restarted, I looked at my watch and I thought, well, almost an hour under that red flag.
Right.
And the race only finished, like 22 minutes over the predicted time. So this race went down at tremendous speed starting from that second restart.
Good point.
These guys were flying.
You know, and I feel that, you know, Formula One has teased over the years of what it could be if it all comes together, and it just in the last 10 laps all came together. That's what you always hope Formula One could be, which is a five-way. You went four wide. Oh my gosh! You know
that was early in the race.
Yeah, but I mean that, you know, we each weekend we always think, oh, that might, you know, we always get something to take away, but you want that. You want a five-way battle that you really just cannot predict.
And all that back and forth at the end, I was like, this,
brilliant.
This race is what this new car was built for, right? This is exactly right. All right, we got a caller on the line. We got Brent in Orlando, Florida. Brent, what did you think of this race?
Instant classic. I mean, y'all said it pretty much any better way that I could put it. I mean, y'all definitely topped it. I mean, listen, I mean, you had battles everywhere throughout the top 10 on that like last 10 lap sprint after the safety car came in. It was absolutely insane. And I'm so happy for Carlos Sainz getting his first win after what, 149 races?
Yeah, 150th race.
Right?
Yep.
Absolutely insane. Such a milestone for him. I'm so happy for him. Like, I mean, I've been rooting for, like, you know, as you guys are probably aware, Formula One absolutely skyrocketed in popularity after 2018 and 2019 with Drive to Survive. So I've come in kind of rooting for Red Bulls and McLaren and, you know, AlphaTauri and that whole team. I don't really root for Mercedes and Ferrari often. But this season, I've been rooting hard for, you know, pretty much every single team on this grid because, oh my gosh, this season has been phenomenal, and this race has just been something else.
Hey, Brent, I got to ask. So you were, it sounds like you were a fan before Drive to Survive, at least somewhat. Were you?
A little bit.
Okay, but you're in Orlando. Tell us what the environment was like around Florida for the Miami race. I mean, we were there, but from a statewide, what was the reception?
Everyone who was in the state of Florida wanted to go to that race. The price point was just so stinking high that not everyone could go in there. Mm-hmm. But there were so many sports bars in the area that had every single TV tuned into that Miami race. And I was in Atlanta at the time for an event I was going to, but in the resort that we were staying at, or in the hotel that we were staying at, they had a, I don't know if you guys know the Marriott Marquis in Atlanta.
Oh yeah.
They have this sports bar with this massive TV screen on there. So a bunch of the guys who were at the event I was at, I think we were like 50 strong. We were all huddled around the, that big screen in the lobby, and we were all watching that race live.
Oh,
and it was
cool.
It was so cool. And just to see that kind of attention to this motorsport, like just how massively it's gotten, you know, it's gotten so big here in the States and in Florida too. Like, I can't wait for Miami next year because we're getting this high-speed rail system that's going to be up and running by January. So that's going to open up the gateway for more and more people to come see that race in person.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm so excited to see what's going to happen next.
Well, Brent, thank you for calling. I love your enthusiasm.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you're loving this sport. Thank you so much.
Stay
we appreciate
with us.
It. Yeah, man. Wow, guys. All right, well, we got to sneak a break in here real fast. We take and catch our breath a little bit.
Woo.
All right, we'll be back after this quick message.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit nationaldebtrelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit nationaldebtrelief.com. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride. Or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
Talk 1370.
Hi guys, this is Greg Astley and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. We got another caller on the line and let's see, we got Nate in Richmond. Hey Nate, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
What did you think of that race?
Man, I'm currently driving down to the Outer Banks right now, so I was listening in the entire race, and I'm super bummed, especially because the first thing y'all say is instant classic to watch. Like, missing something, probably, you know, at least years close. But I wanted to call in just to talk about Mercedes. I mean, I'm not a huge Mercedes fan or anything like that, but I think this kind of encapsulated how well-oiled of a machine that team really is at the beginning of this season, to continually improve and improve each race, and Lewis to go out there and put down a podium finish with no support at all. You got to remember, there's two Ferraris out there, yeah, too. We had no George Russell. What would that have looked like if he was out there on the grid, too? They were coming off just a fresh upgrade, haven't driven on a dry track yet, and they come and pull that out. I mean, there's a lot of teams, I think, that when faced with that adversity they had at the beginning of the season could have kind of downturned, but they've just continued to grow and grow and get better as a unit throughout the entire year.
Absolutely.
Wow. Good words.
Well, look, it was an instant classic. All you got to do is when you get to your computer or whatever you got, you can watch it again, because we've just been saying we're going to absolutely be watching this multiple times. Nate, thanks for calling, buddy. We really appreciate you listening.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
You bet.
All right, now we're going to go out to Chris Medlin. Chris, we have our heads exploded watching this race. What about you?
Choke run, he's okay after that.
Yeah.
Huge, huge shunt that he had. We're waiting to see what's happened with Alex Albon. He's been taken to a nearby hospital here. He was airlifted there. For precautionary checks, we're told, but we haven't had anything else out of Williams yet, so we'll just make sure. But he took a few hits to different parts of the car, didn't he? So I wonder if he's a bit battered and bruised in that sense, but fingers crossed he'll be okay. But then after that, you kind of think, well, it can't be any more dramatic after that start, and then what a race we had. But I'm stood just by Mercedes. And I genuinely think they felt like that race was coming towards them, that it was going to be theirs for the taking. I mean, Lewis was quick once he got past Norris. Verstappen hit his trouble. Perez was at the back. The two Ferraris are squabbling and Ferrari couldn't work out what they wanted to do. It looked set up for that fairy tale win. And then there's another twist of the tail just when you thought it settled down. So, a cracking race. I think a lot of very good drives. I won't underestimate the drive that Max Verstappen put in a difficult car to hold on. Who knows how important that might be at the very end. The scrap he had with Mick Schumacher on the final couple of laps, well, those couple of points could be crucial at the end of the season. Who knows? That shows some impressive fighting spirit.
Chris, on that, did you feel that anything was untoward from Verstappen on that fight? Because if he does get penalised, like I said, I said, remember this race for Verstappen. If he becomes world champion or in the last race, it's down to a couple of points, because that seventh could make a huge difference. But was it too much and too hard on Schumacher in your mind?
There was a moment at turn six that was maybe close where Schumacher had got most of his car alongside. But I don't know if it was quite enough. I don't know if he'd quite done enough to earn that racing room. We'd seen other moves that were similar and drivers being forced wide there too. I think between Hamilton and Leclerc or Sainz even at some stages. So probably borderline, but the stewards are trying to let them race. They probably just about got that right. And then on the final lap, I actually thought Schumacher was just going to leave it on the inside for the final corner. I thought he had the chance to. When he backed out, kind of sensible. They could have both ended up in a fence and he doesn't get a point. And, you know, he's not scored yet. Yeah. In a sense, it doesn't change Schumacher's world whether he'd finished ahead or behind Verstappen at that stage. I think it was just quite impressive to see from Verstappen that he wasn't backing out after the race he'd had and the fight he'd put up. So, I was kind of impressed. And I think the stewards probably just about called it right.
Cool. Chris, were the media center windows shaking when Hamilton took his first lead of the season at the British Grand Prix?
I tell you what, it wasn't that moment. The moment that had everyone going crazy was when he undercut both Perez and Leclerc out of the final corner. The noise then was incredible. And you genuinely then thought, wow, he's limited the damage. He's not going to get to Sainz, but what a great move. And then two corners later, it's all gone back again because this race just never let you rest. So, that was the big moment here. But as much as the crowd were loving the way it went for Lewis, they were just loving a race that they couldn't tell which way it was going to go. The atmosphere was incredible all day. So it was pretty special.
I think you'll remember this for a long time, Chris. I mean, you've been around for a long time as yourself. And I think these are the ones you really take to your heart and want a picture on the wall of.
Oh, they're the ones that make you run around for the rest of the evening. I tell you that. There's so much reaction. So many storylines to chase. So many people are trying to speak to up and down the grid. I don't think there's a team. Can any of you really consider a team that has nothing to say after that race?
Aston Martin had
the quiet one. But even then, Vettel triggered the crash for Albon. So there's that to look into. And still score some points. So that didn't go too badly for him. But then, Williams obviously with Albon and Latifi slipping back. He was hurt by the late safety car, wasn't he? He actually looked like he was on for points until then.
I think AlphaTauri might leave it quietly.
Yeah.
they've already packed up and gone. I've never seen her. Yeah. They disappear so quickly. But no, you're right. They had a shocker because there was a big opportunity for points today for any team. Yeah. I mean, Daniel Ricciardo, what went with him? I think he had a DRS issue, but he wasn't really in the fight. I was surprised by a strategic error actually from McLaren. I think they pit Lando Norris out of fifth place. They just didn't react to the safety car. Mm-hmm. They could have come in for a pit stop, decided not to.
Should have come in sooner.
They had the chance. Sainz and Hamilton from ahead and Perez all made pit stops. Norris stayed out. Alonso made a stop. And then they decided to make one the lap later and it cost them the place and they never got it back. Yeah. So strange one that. I'll try and ask them a bit more about that one because Andreas Seidel said before the race, I don't know if we managed to play it out, but he said their only race was with Alonso. That's who they had to beat and they failed. So I don't think they'd be too happy with that.
Mm, good point.
Disaster for Alfa Romeo as well. Mm-hmm. What a horrible day for them.
Absolutely.
Let's look forward expensive. A little bit. Chris, can we compare Silverstone to either Austria or Paul Ricard? And I'm thinking, are we going to see more heroics from Mercedes at either or both of those two tracks in the next 2 weeks?
I'm not too sure about Austria next weekend. I don't think it'll be terrible there, but I'm just not convinced it'll be as strong as this. But I think Paul Ricard, yes. I think that's a bit more like Silverstone. There's some high-speed stuff, smooth circuit. That's one that could come towards them. And one thing that Mercedes were very good at today, as I give another plug to our Wi-Fi providers, Pirelli, was managing their tyres, because they Lewis had that first stint that he managed to extend so much further than the Ferraris. And France, sometimes we've seen, can be a bit of a tyre issue race. If you think back to even last year when Verstappen came through making an extra pit stop. And if the Mercedes can be kind on its tyres and it's hot there, then that might even benefit them a little bit more. So I think that will be the one that they'll look to try and repeat this sort of performance, with Austria a bit more of a question mark.
Hey, Chris, I know we need to get a quick break in here, but I know that you said that Tom Cruise was waiting, standing by, waiting for you to grab him.
Yeah, he was. And then he just, yeah, I said, don't worry about it, Tom. We'll catch up later. Yeah. Like, you know, we'll grab a beer. So,
yeah, there you go. Right,
you did say your parting shot was, remember, no points for second place, Tom.
So he agreed to talk to you, huh?
Oh, of course. Yeah. He's just hanging out. He's as JG says, he's just waiting around for me to get off air so we can go and celebrate his birthday. Because I'm sure it was mentioned, but he's 60 today.
Wow.
Which is incredible. Incredible way to spend your 60s.
Think about that.
Came to the British Grand Prix.
Hey, that's not old.
Yep.
That's disgusting. He looks 40.
I know, that's annoying.
Anyway, all right, guys.
It really does.
Let's get a quick message in here. We'll be back after these messages. Hey guys, we are very excited to welcome our new sponsor, Altstadt Brewery, to Speed City. These guys make a fantastic beer, and I'm going to let Jonathan talk about it, but I'm going to tell you about it. When I tasted it, I am not a big beer aficionado. I like a nice cold beer, but I'm always worried about a craft beer or a new beer that it's going to have a funky taste, especially aftertaste. This beer was fantastic. I have absolutely no qualms at all that this is my new favorite beer. But Jonathan, you know why, what makes it so special, the water and the recipe?
Well, yeah, I mean, these guys have done their research and do it right. And they've even imported the right water to do it right. I mean, I tell you, this Altstadt beer, fantastic. And I'm, most Europeans are snobs about their beer. And I'm definitely one of those. Because
you're definitely a snob?
Yes, okay. About my beer.
Okay.
because there's no question, carbonation has always been my issue here in the States. It's overcarbonated. And our lagers, our pilsners and lagers in Europe, especially German ones, are not that heavily carbonated. And that's a key thing. And that's the first thing that hit me, was just how well they've done the beer. It's based out of Fredericksburg. It's got a great tie-in, because obviously Fredericksburg, a German town, and now they've got a Texas German beer, and it's cracking.
Yeah, and the facility out there, it's amazing. They've really done it right. It's really fantastic. So check it out. You can get it at all the local HEBs and everything else, right?
Yep. It's all around Texas. You can get it. They sell it in on the shelf there as a Texas beer. But I'll tell you what, you're right back in Germany when you drink it.
And it's Altstadt Beer, Altstadt Beer.com. Altstadt Beer, Altstadt Beer.com.
Hi, this is Max Verstappen, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Bob, you had a friend you wanted to remember today.
Yeah, I don't want to let the show go by without saying a word about the passing of Alain de Cadenet, who died yesterday at the age of 76. A terrific broadcast colleague, authoritative automotive historian, terrific racing driver, the last privateer to stand on the podium at the 24 Hours of Le Mans back in the 70s, the co-owner of that World War II era Spitfire that you can see almost mowing him down in an open field on a very famous clip on YouTube. He was just such a fabulous guy, so entertaining in so many ways, so much fun to be around. And I'm just blindsided by his death, and I'm going to miss him a lot.
Here, here.
That's nice, Bob.
Nice.
Thank you.
Buddy, yeah.
Speaking of World War II planes, over Austin, I saw, I think it was a B-17.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
Well, it was cool as heck.
Yeah, it looked like completely restored, for the 4th of July.
Had all the right colors and the USF.
Yeah, there aren't many of those around.
Yeah, it was low enough you could see all that. It was incredible.
Right over Austin.
Yep. Oh, man, what an incredible race today. Jonathan, what else? I mean, I'm so excited for Magnussen and, I mean, Schumacher first.
Yeah.
For the Haas F1 team.
They really needed that. I mean, I was mad at Haas yesterday after qualifying. Remember, they messed up qualifying huge.
Yeah.
There was the Schumacher, it was wet, remember? So Schumacher's wheel was out of line. So he could hardly drive properly in wet conditions. And Magnussen, I don't remember, but he had a setup problem. Oh, I know. His tires had worn out, and he couldn't put in a faster lap because one of the tires was wearing. And so they both literally had the worst qualifying they've had, and they turned it round just as Aston Martin did. So hats off to both those teams, because that's really going to put a shot in the arm to both Aston Martin and to Haas F1.
Yeah, and like I think I said at the pre-show, but they had such great qualifying in the rain all year. They'd done great, and just to complete failure. But fantastic that they finished. I know there was a lot of DNF movement there, instigated movement, but still love it. But Carlos Sainz, we're still celebrating his first win ever in his 150th race. That was incredible.
And you know, like I said before on the pre-show, that he and Norris are my sleeping giants. And when those guys start to get success and confidence, look out. And yet, I really would like to know when we speak to Madeline, maybe for the Wheel to Wheel show, you'll talk about this. But I'd like to know what Binotto said to Charles Leclerc
when he had his finger.
Had his finger. Yep,
with his finger wagging.
Because Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say he was overselling the I need to pass. He was right, but he needed to just say it right, and then take his own actions or whatever.
And do your business.
But he was getting kind of like petulant, and Ferrari don't need that.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, we got a bunch of interactivity on YouTube right now. Ray says he's listening live from the Road America Cup garage. That's cool.
Good man.
Really? Yeah.
Say hi to my Trans Am boys, too.
Yeah, that's cool. Mike Bowles says, close racing, woohoo, with hands and flags. Everybody's excited about that. Let's see.
Hey, you want a stat? 150th race start and first win for Carlos Sainz 2 weeks ago in Canada. Max Verstappen started his 150th Grand Prix from pole and won the race. So here we've had it happen. Wasn't his first win, obviously, but 150th from pole takes the win, just as Carlos did today.
Yeah, and you saw the popularity that the British fans have for Carlos Sainz. He's so well known because they're a big rally group as well, the motorsport fans of Britain, because and so Carlos Sainz Sr. is a huge household name in England. And so Carlos has grown up under that bushel, as it were. But he's been accepted as like, wow, another Sainz, you know? And so, like you said, his first win in Formula BMW back in 2010 at Silverstone. So there's a huge appreciation and love for all things Carlos, you know. Yes, he's Spanish and he's not British, but boy, they love him, and it showed. And he was really appreciative of the way they cheered him on today.
Hey, Jonathan, you'll like this. Look at this tweet. He says it's a tweet showing the finger wag that Binotto's giving Leclerc, and it says this should be your new cover photo. That's from Bison for Life on Twitter.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, it's going to get interesting. And I hate to say it, Bob, but this is where we've often seen in the past Ferrari implode when you've got two title. Whereas Horner, I would say, is better at managing a Verstappen-Perez battle. And Mercedes have had to put up and are good and versed at managing their two drivers. You've got to think that if you were looking at a weakness of those top three teams, would you agree that Ferrari are the most likely to implode?
Well, most likely to implode. That's a pretty serious thing. But no, but your point is well taken. Ferrari's an emotional bunch. There's enormous pressure on them. And we've talked about how Britain is the home of Formula One. It's the Silicon Valley of the sport, all the technology, all this. 7 of the 10 teams are based there. But Ferrari in Italy is multiple columns in every sports section of every newspaper every day. And so the pressure is just enormous on those guys. I have a lot of respect for the really effective team principals and, guys like, Ron Dennis and Christian Horner and certainly Toto Wolff and you know, Sir Frank Williams, and you know, the guys had really successful teams. Almost entirely, 100% had very strong team principles.
Frank Williams
laid down the law. You know,
Frank Williams,
the Godfather.
Yep, Frank Williams did a good job with you know, Prost, you know, you name it. There's been some great combos.
Hey guys, yep. I just got an. You know, Chris is stuck with only the Wi-Fi by the brill, so he's running getting interviews. He got a Gunther Steiner interview, and the producer's going to cue that up for us.
Great,
so we'll have that.
We want to hear some Haas.
We'll have that here in a minute. But on YouTube, guys, you were talking about Ferrari. Gabriel's comment, it says, Ferrari can't stop making dumb decisions. Change Leclerc's tires already. This should have been an easy 1-2 after the safety car. Very poor race management, Ferrari.
It's a good point. I mean, you know, it's lost in the excitement of everything that happened. But you do wonder, don't you? At one point, I screeched out, hey, everybody else is on soft tires and the Ferraris are on hards. And they were like kind of stuck.
All right. Well, our producer's lightning fast. He has that interview with Gunther Steiner. Let's hear it now.
So I'm just with the man who is getting ready to hug the whole paddock after double points. It is Gunther Steiner. And Gunther, you got a smile on your face.
Yeah, finally, after a few races, I got a smile on my face again. I mean, I think people liked it a lot better than me being upset, you know. It was a good day today for the whole team. Again, I always see the team in the forefront, you know, of everything, because they work hard, and we had five races where we could and should have scored points, but we didn't, you know, as I kept on saying. But our car is good, our drivers are good, and today it worked, and especially today it's even more satisfying because we had quite a crappy qualifying yesterday, starting 17 and 19, and then just working our way up. After the red flag, obviously, we gained a few positions, but still, we had to work our way into the points, and we worked our way into the points. They were not handed out to us, you know, which is even better.
I was going to say, it's not like you were suddenly both in the top 10 after that red flag at the start. So how did you go about that? Was it strategy that got it right? Was it the car pace? Was it the drivers? All of it?
Exactly, a combination of it. But I think the car pace needs to be there. Otherwise, you cannot do it, you know. And then with the strategy, we didn't do a lot wrong today. And the drivers did a good job as well. You know, Mick was fighting with Verstappen at the end, you know, fighting with the world champion. Obviously, I think the good thing is when you fight with him, you learn also what he does. It's you can watch it on TV, but if you're there, you learn a lot more and quicker, you know. So I think for him, even if he didn't pass it in the end for a very minimum distance, it was a good day.
Yeah, I mean, you're a racer at heart, and I'm sure you wanted to see your driver get that extra position, but also Max was defending hard. I mean, what was it like for you on the pit wall those final few laps?
I was like, whatever happens, I mean, you know, it was a good day, you know, we came up there, but it's like, yeah, like, I hope we bring it to the end, you know.
Well, yeah, certainly the final corner. Do you think that Mick did the right thing and not really risking contact at that very final corner? Because it looked like he had a run on him, but it could have all gone wrong at the end.
Absolutely, and at that point, you know, because then you can imagine then the pressure would get to him, and in the end, he scored 4 points, you know. You know, yeah, would we like to have more? Yes, but 4 is good.
Well, what do you think it'll do for his confidence as well? Because you were saying, I think, just yesterday that you think the pace is there, but the pressure's started to build until he scored. So do you think this will help Mick relax a bit more?
I think the last two races he was a little bit more relaxed already, you know. So for sure this will help. But now what we need to manage is the expectation. Or if he doesn't score points, it's a negative day, you know, which isn't true, you know, because it's just something we need to manage, you know. He did a fantastic job.
And here he is, getting a big old hug.
Yeah. So, you know, and that is what we need to manage now. Just make, do not fold under the pressure now. But I don't think he will, because what we went through the last six or seven races from the pressure was pretty tough. We will be good.
And just finally, you've got to pack up and head to Austria straight away. How do you think you'll go there? Is this going to be a big confidence boost for the whole team? Because, as you said, we've been used to scoring points, but with one car, so to do it with both must be a great feeling.
Absolutely, you know, and knowing that we can score with two cars is something for the team as well, which is just a confidence thing. As I continue to say, once you do it, it's much easier. And we had a very good start, almost too good, and then we had five races where we almost were there, but we couldn't reach it. So Austria, I think we can score in every race if we do a good job, you know, because the car is good enough, the drivers are good enough. We just need to have it flawless.
Well, good luck there. Good. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, really interesting that we were talking yesterday in our meeting about how Gunther had been quite vociferous about the confidence of the team. You picked up on it, John, and now totally regaining that. And he just emphasized that. What a wonderful moment, Chris, to be there when he gets the hug from Mick. But, you know, that's the difference in sport. A win can and a good day at the office can really change the impetus of a team going forward. And that's really happened today with Haas. And you can hear it in Gunther's voice. So great stuff. Really, really enjoyed that.
You know, the inside joke there, if you recall earlier in the season, Gunther Steiner said something on air that I thought was another Gunther F-bomb.
Well, because we're used to it from Drive to Survive.
Right, but he said I would have hugged the whole paddock. And so that's
sounded different.
But it sounded like an F-word.
And he's Austrian. So if I say car and he says car, you can work it out yourself.
Exactly. So anyway, that's the running joke there. And that is, by the way, our biggest YouTube video ever, like 200,000 views or something like that.
Quoted by several others, too.
Yeah.
That interview. Yeah.
And nobody...
It's a man overestimating his own stability.
Yes.
The hills are alive.
And stamina.
Oh, that's fantastic, though. And he was quick to point out that they earned their way up there.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I agree with that. But, I mean, there were some DNFs today, but
come
still.
From 18th and 19th, it doesn't matter. You've got to be there.
You race the guys who get to the finish.
Yep, that's true. Absolutely.
Bob, what about Austria? Let's talk more specific. It's going to be a completely... Go ahead, John. Before you do.
Let's play this clip from Gunther that we're talking about real quick.
Okay.
You know, I mean, last year, for 2 points, I would have fucked the whole paddock.
So you decide. you the listener.
I hear it now. Yeah. It was better when I thought I didn't hear it.
I know. Finally, Chris convinced me because he was standing there and he was like raising his hand and he was going, what the heck? And everybody was going, what? What did I say?
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry, interrupt.
Austria couldn't be more different. There are no straights. It's tight. It's twisty. It's absolute Verstappen home. They'll all be there in that big grandstand in orange. It's at altitude. It couldn't be a more different race venue than we saw today. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think you need a very agile race car, which is why I asked Chris earlier whether he thought Mercedes could follow up this great performance today.
Mm-hmm. Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? snag an electric fireplace, and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey guys, we are very excited to welcome our new sponsor, Allstadt Brewery, to Speed City. These guys make a fantastic beer, and I'm going to let Jonathan talk about it, but I'm going to tell you about it. When I tasted it, I'm not a big beer aficionado. I like a nice cold beer, but I'm always worried about a craft beer or a new beer that it's going to have a funky taste, especially aftertaste. This beer was fantastic. I have absolutely no qualms at all that this is my new favorite beer. But Jonathan, you know why, what makes it so special, the water and the recipe?
Well, yeah, I mean, these guys have done their research and do it right. And they've even imported the right water to do it right. I mean, I tell you, this Allstadt beer, fantastic. And I'm, most Europeans are snobs about their beer. And I'm definitely one of those. Because
you're definitely a snob?
Yes, okay. About my beer.
Okay.
because there's no question, carbonation is always been my issue here in the States. It's overcarbonated, and our lagers, our pilsners and lagers in Europe, especially German ones, are not that heavily carbonated, and that's a key thing. And that's the first thing that hit me, was just how well they've done the beer. It's based out of Fredericksburg. It's got a great tie-in, because obviously Fredericksburg, a German town, and now they've got a Texas German beer, and it's cracking.
Yeah, and the facility out there, it's amazing. They've really done it right. It's really fantastic. So check it out. You can get it at all the local HEBs and everything else, right?
Yep, it's all around Texas. You can get it. They sell it in on the shelf there as a Texas beer. But I'll tell you what, you're right back in Germany when you drink it.
And it's Allstadt Beer, Allstadt Beer.com. Allstadt Beer, Allstadt Beer.com.
Hi, this is Max Verstappen, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Bob, you had a friend you wanted to remember today.
Yeah, I don't want to let the show go by without saying a word about the passing of Alan Duchatne, who died yesterday at the age of 76. A terrific broadcast colleague, authoritative automotive historian, terrific racing driver, the last privateer to stand on the podium at the 24 Hours of Le Mans back in the 70s, the co-owner of that World War II era Spitfire that you can see almost mowing him down in an open field on a very famous clip on YouTube. He was just such a fabulous guy, so entertaining in so many ways, so much fun to be around. And I'm just blindsided by his death, and I'm going to miss him a lot.
Here, here.
That's nice, Bob.
Nice.
Thank you.
Buddy, yeah.
Speaking of World War II planes, over Austin, I think it was a B-17.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
Well, it was cool as heck.
Yeah, it looked like completely restored, for the 4th of July.
It had all the right colors and USF.
Yeah, there aren't many of those around.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was low enough you could see all that. It was incredible.
Right over Austin.
Yep. Oh, man, what an incredible race today. Jonathan, what else? I mean, I'm so excited for Magnussen and, I mean, Schumacher first, but for the Haas F1 team.
They really needed that. I mean, I was mad at Haas yesterday after qualifying. Remember, they messed up qualifying huge.
Yeah.
There was the Schumacher, it was wet, remember? So Schumacher's wheel was out of line, so he could hardly drive properly in wet conditions. And Magnussen, I don't remember, but he had a setup problem. Oh, I know. His tires had worn out, and he couldn't put in a faster lap because one of the tires was wearing. And so they both literally had the worst qualifying they've had, and they turned it round just as Aston Martin did. So hats off to both those teams, because that's really going to put a shot in the arm to both Aston Martin and to Haas F1.
Yeah, and like I think I said at the pre-show, but they had such great qualifying in the rain all year. They'd done great, and just to complete failure. But fantastic that they finished. I know there was a lot of DNF movement there, instigated movement, but still, love it. But Carlos Sainz, we're still celebrating his first win ever in his 150th race. That was incredible.
And you know, like I said before on the pre-show, that he and Norris are my sleeping giants. And when those guys start to get success and confidence, look out. And yet, I really would like to know when we speak to Madeline, maybe for the Wheel to Wheel show, you'll talk about this. But I'd like to know what Binotto said to Charles Leclerc
when he had his
finger. Yep.
With his finger wagging.
Because Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say he was overselling the I need to pass. He was right, but he needed to just say it right, and then take his own actions or whatever.
And do your business.
But he was getting kind of like petulant, and Ferrari don't need that.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, we got a bunch of interactivity on YouTube right now. Ray says he's listening live from the Road America Cup Garage. That's cool.
Good man.
Really, Ray? Really? Yeah.
Say hi to my Trans Am boys, too.
Yeah, that's cool. Mike Bowles says, close racing, woohoo, with hands and flags. Everybody's excited about that. Let's see.
Hey, you want a stat? 150th race start and first win for Carlos Sainz? 2 weeks ago in Canada, Max Verstappen started his 150th Grand Prix from pole and won the race. So there we've had it happen. Wasn't his first win, obviously, but 150th from pole takes the win, just as Carlos did today.
Yeah, and you saw the popularity that the British fans have for Carlos Sainz. He's so well known because they're a big rally group as well, the motorsport fans of Britain, because and so Carlos Sainz Sr. is a huge household name in England. And so Carlos has grown up under that bushel, as it were. But he's been accepted as like, wow, another Sainz, you know? And so, like you said, his first win in Formula BMW back in 2010 at Silverstone. So there's a huge appreciation and love for all things Carlos, you know. Yes, he's Spanish and he's not British, but boy, they love him, and it showed. And he was really appreciative of the way they cheered him on today.
Hey, Jonathan, you'll like this. Look at this tweet. He says it's a tweet showing the finger wag that Binotto's giving Leclerc, and it says this should be your new cover photo. That's from Bison for Life on Twitter.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, it's going to get interesting, and I hate to say it, Bob, but this is where we've often seen in the past Ferrari implode when you've got two titles, whereas Horner, I would say, is better at managing a Verstappen-Perez battle, and Mercedes have had to put up and are good and versed at managing their two drivers. You've got to think that if you were looking at a weakness of those top three teams, would you agree that Ferrari are the most likely to implode?
Well, most likely to implode. That's a pretty serious thing. But no, but your point is well taken. Ferrari's an emotional bunch. There's enormous pressure on them. And we've talked about how Britain is the home of Formula One. It's the Silicon Valley of the sport, all the technology, all this. 7 of the 10 teams are based there. But Ferrari in Italy is multiple columns in every sports section of every newspaper every day. And so the pressure is just enormous on those guys. I have a lot of respect for the really effective team principals and, guys like, Ron Dennis and Christian Horner and certainly Toto Wolff and, Sir Frank Williams. And, the guys had really successful teams almost entirely, 100%, had very strong team principals.
Frank
who
Williams
laid down the law,
Frank Williams,
the Godfather.
Yep, Frank Williams did a good job with Prost, you name it. There's been some great combos.
Hey guys, yeah. I just got an, you know, Chris is stuck with only the Wi-Fi by the brill. So he's running, getting interviews. He got a Gunther Steiner interview, and the producer's going to cue that up for us.
Right.
So we'll have that.
We want to hear some Haas.
We'll have that here in a minute. But on YouTube, guys, you were talking about Ferrari. Gabriel's comment, it says, Ferrari can't stop making dumb decisions. Change Leclerc's tires already. This should have been an easy one, too, after the safety car. Very poor race management, Ferrari.
It's a good point. I mean, you know, it's lost in the excitement of everything that happened. But you do wonder, don't you? At one point, I screeched out, "Hey, everybody else is on soft tires, and the Ferraris are on hards," and they were like kind of stuck.
All right. Well, our producer's lightning fast. He has that interview with Gunther Steiner. Let's hear it now.
So I'm just with the man who is getting ready to hug the whole paddock after double points. it's Gunther Steiner, and Gunther, you got a smile on your face.
Yeah, finally, after a few races, I got a smile on my face again. I mean, I think people liked it a lot better than me being upset, you know. It was a good day today for the whole team. Again, I always see the team in the forefront, you know, of everything, because they work hard, and we had five races where we could and should have scored points, but we didn't, you know, as I kept on saying. But our car is good, our drivers are good, and today it worked, and especially today it's even more satisfying because we had quite a crappy qualifying yesterday, starting 17 and 19, and then just working our way up after the red flag. Obviously, we gained a few positions, but still, we had to work our way into the points, and we worked our way into the points. They were not handed out to us, you know, which is even better.
I was going to say, it's not like you were suddenly both in the top 10 after that red flag at the start. So how did you go about that? Was it strategy that got it right? Was it the car pace? Was it the drivers? All of it?
Exactly, a combination of it. But I think the car pace needs to be there. Otherwise, you cannot do it, you know. And then with the strategy, we didn't do a lot wrong today. And the drivers did a good job as well. You know, Mick was fighting with Verstappen at the end, you know, fighting with the world champion. Obviously, I think the good thing is when you fight with him, you learn also what he does. It's you can watch it on TV, but if you're there, you learn a lot more and quicker, you know. So I think for him, even if he didn't pass it in the end for a very minimum distance, it was a good day.
Yeah, I mean, you're a racer at heart, and I'm sure you wanted to see your driver get that extra position, but also Max was defending hard. I mean, what was it like for you on the pit wall those final few laps?
I was like, whatever happens, I mean, you know, it was a good day, you know, we came up there, but it's like, you're like, I hope we bring it to the end, you know.
Well, yeah, certainly the final corner. Do you think that Mick did the right thing and not really risking contact at that very final corner? Because it looked like he had a run on him, but it could have all gone wrong at the end.
Absolutely, and at that point, you know, because then you can imagine then the pressure would get to him. And in the end, he scored 4 points, you know. You know, yeah, would we like to have more? Yes, but 4 is good.
Well, what do you think it'll do for his confidence as well? Because you were saying, I think, just yesterday that you think the pace is there, but the pressure started to build until he scored. So do you think this will help Mick relax a bit more?
I think the last two races he was a little bit more relaxed already, you know. So for sure this will help. But now what we need to manage is the expectation. Or if he doesn't score points, it's a negative day, you know, which isn't true, you know, because it's just something we need to manage, you know. But he did a fantastic job.
And here he is, getting a big old hug.
Yeah. So, you know, and that is what we need to manage now. Just make, do not fold under the pressure now. But I don't think he will, because what we went through the last six or seven races from the pressure was pretty tough. But we will be good.
And just finally, you've got to pack up and head to Austria straight away. How do you think you'll go there? Is this going to be a big confidence boost for the whole team? Because, as you said, we've been used to scoring points, but with one car. So to do it with both must be a great feeling.
Absolutely, you know, and knowing that we can score with two cars is something for the team as well, which is just a confidence thing. As I continue to say, once you do it, it's much easier. And we had a very good start, almost too good, and then we had five races where we almost were there, but we couldn't reach it. So Austria, I think we can score in every race if we do a good job, you know, because the car is good enough, the drivers are good enough. We just need to have it flawless.
Well, good at that. Good. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, really interesting that we were talking yesterday in our meeting about how Gunther had been quite vociferous about the confidence of the team. You picked up on it, John. And now totally regaining that. And he just emphasized that. What a wonderful moment, Chris, to be there when he gets the hug from Mick. But, you know, that's the difference in sport. A win can and a good day at the office can really change the impetus of a team going forward. And that's really happened today with Haas. And you can hear it in Gunter's voice. So great stuff. Really, really enjoyed that.
You know, the inside joke there, if you recall earlier in the season, Gunther Steiner said something on air that I thought was another Gunther F-bomb.
Well, because we're used to it from Drive to
right.
Survive.
But he said, I would have hugged the whole paddock. And so that's
sounded different.
But it sounded like an
F-word. He's Austrian. So if I say car and he says car, you could work it out yourself.
Exactly. So anyway, yes. That's the running joke there. And that is, by the way, our biggest YouTube video ever, like 200,000 views or something like that.
Quoted by several others, too.
Yeah.
That interview. Yeah.
And nobody...
It's a man overestimating his own stability.
Yes.
The hills are alive.
And stamina.
Oh, that's fantastic, though. And he was quick to point out that they earned their way up there.
Yes.
Yes, yes. I'll agree with that. But, I mean, there were some DNFs today, but
come
still.
From 18th to 19th, it doesn't matter. You've got
to
be there.
You race the guys who get to the finish.
Yep, that's true. Absolutely.
Bob, what about Austria? Let's talk more specific. It's going to be a completely... Go ahead, John, before you do.
Let's play this clip from Gunther that we're talking about real quick.
Okay.
You know, I mean, last year, for 2 points, I mean, I would have fucked the whole paddock.
So you decide. you the listener.
I hear it now. Yeah. It was better when I thought I didn't hear it.
I know. Finally, Chris convinced me because he was standing there and he was like raising his hand and he was going, what the heck? And everybody was going, what? What did I say?
Yeah.
So anyway, sorry, interrupt.
Austria couldn't be more different. There are no straights. It's tight. It's twisty. It's absolute Verstappen home. They'll all be there in that big grandstand in orange.
It's at altitude.
It couldn't be a more different race venue than we saw today. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think you need a very agile race car, which is why I asked Chris earlier whether he thought Mercedes could follow up this great performance today. Mm-hmm. And I agreed that the race that follows at Paul Ricard, the French Grand Prix, will be much more suited to Mercedes.
Yeah.
You're right. It is tight. We saw guys last year get in trouble there. Carlos Sainz, Lando mm-hmm. Norris. You know, guys trying to elbow their way around some of these corners to make passes. And sometimes guys wind up in the dirt. And that's just kind of the story of that track. Absolutely beautiful place. I'm sure it'll be roaring with fans. But it's going to be, as you say, a very different animal from Silverstone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Hamilton, as he said, those Red Bulls in a straight line are missiles. Today,
we saw it today.
He won't worry about that mm-hmm. as much because there just isn't the time. There's that one straight from turn one up to the hill. That's about it. So that's going to bode well also for Mercedes.
Watching.
And the Ferraris seem to get off the corners really well. So I think that's the counterbalance to the Red Bull straight line speed is the Ferraris get into and out of the corners faster than the Red Bulls do. So, you know, that could be a factor in the Austrian Grand Prix.
All right, coming up, we are going to continue to break down this incredible instant classic, as we're calling it, mm-hmm. British Grand Prix, after this.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project MotoGP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at MotivationUSA.com. That's MotivationUSA.com.
When you leave
leave the Circuit of the Americas today, you need to go check out our friends at Iron Wolf Ranch and Distillery, just 40 minutes west of Weird in the beautiful Spicewood, Texas. They produce a wide variety of unique, award-winning spirits, including bourbon, whiskeys, gin, vodka, and rums. They're kid and dog-friendly with yard games and Craigo's Pizza and Wings on site every weekend. Enjoy a full bar, tasting room, bottle purchases, and live music when you visit the ranch. Check them out on Facebook and Instagram, and always ask for Iron Wolf at your favorite bars and liquor stores across Texas. Iron Wolf Ranch and Distillery, bold spirits, Texas attitude.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Hello to everyone, this is Gunther Steiner, this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
And it looks like we have a caller on the... We have John in New Jersey. Hey, John, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon, as the case is here. boy, I'll tell you what. Silverstone did not disappoint between qualifying and the race. It was phenomenal. Phenomenal. It was great. And listen, I love listening to you guys. Bob Varsha, you're an icon, brother. I love listening to your insights. Just lastly, well, two things, really. Can Chris get better equipment somehow, satellite or something, so he's not tethered to Wi-Fi?
Well, yes, we have.
We're working on it.
We've done all of that, and we've had pretty good luck. We've had 10 races. we've had 10 races, and we've only had this problem with two, but at least he's there, and at least he's getting those interviews.
We're getting there,
but yes, we are working on that.
Oh, copy that. And lastly, you know, I've been following F1. I became a fan when Jackie Stewart was in his heyday. And so I love F1. I love everything about it. But you know what? Maybe I missed something. I never hear any updates on Michael Schumacher. And how is the guy doing? Does anybody have any insight, you know, to what his status really is?
That's one of the things that I try to follow. And quite honestly, nobody of any consequence is giving any update. And so,
I heard,
you know, it was in the media
distribution the way,
early on.
That's the way the family wants it. They're keeping it very tight-lipped.
Yeah, and frankly, that's the way I kind of want it. I'm desperate to hear, too, because Michael, I spent a lot of my career at Formula One following his career and talking to him, and it's one of the saddest things. But, you know, he was such a great that I don't really, you know, I'm glad that they've taken this approach to it. And so, no, I don't either have any information.
Yeah.
Yeah, in our media distribution, we received a statement from the family early on just asking us not to use any other sources for information. And so, quite honestly, that we're obliging.
Yeah, and don't believe anything you may or may not read unless it's from his original team.
The family, right. Mm. Sabine Kim is his manager. And she has
Willie Weber.
She runs the offices of Michael Schumacher, which is an organization that carries on. Certainly Mick's career is involved in all of that. And it's such a tough problem. Michael is in, my understanding is, and I could be wrong, he's in what the doctors call a persistent vegetative state, which means he is alive, but, you know, communication's an issue, mobility's an issue, everything is an issue. Having said that, one guy who does get in to see him from time to time is Jean Todt, his former boss at Ferrari, former president of the FIA. And Jean has said some guardedly optimistic things. Not that we'll ever see Michael Schumacher walking down the street again, but that basically we still have Michael Schumacher. And as long as that's the case, you know, hope springs eternal.
Yeah. And I therefore, the only thing I could say, and I got in trouble before when Mick was at Macau, I said, I'm sure Michael would be, you know, potentially watching something like that. That's how I understand it, because people thought I was saying he was coming back and all the rest of it. And I said, no, I just believe that, you know, he's not gone. And I'm sure he is being informed and keeping up with what his son is doing.
Yeah. Mm. By the way, John in New Jersey, thank you for calling. We appreciate all the calls. We thank everybody for tuning in and all the people that have been following us on YouTube and stuff. That's growing for us, and we really appreciate it. It's just another way for us to communicate with you. So we appreciate all that, all the questions. And speaking of that, there's Dixon has a comment. He says, considering how Perez recovered from his mistake, I think George Russell could have managed to be in the fight as well if he had stayed in his car and tried to get back into the pits. So, but yeah, we appreciate everybody joining us that way too. So, I want to talk about the protest, Jonathan.
Yeah, have we got a caller?
No, we do not. We already with our last caller.
Yeah, all this drama was going on. What we didn't hear a lot of, it came across the headlines and it was dealt with very quickly. Leading up to the British Grand Prix, some environmental protesters had threatened to, basically do a sit-in protest, and they did. Sadly, when the red flag came out, a group of orange-clad, wearing coloured orange, which is part of their protest. They are oil protesters, evidently. But of course, when you think about it, orange is the color of the marshals as well.
That's what they were trying to deceive.
And they did physically sit on the track as the red flag came out. So it could have been really bad, but the marshals dealt with it. Northamptonshire police were right on the scene, and it was dealt with in a matter of minutes, and they have been taken into custody.
Mm. And I made this point, and you guys rebutted me during the break, is that they could find a better place to protest oil. I know you guys immediately said, hey, we got oil sponsors, but Formula One is trying to do zero carbon by 2030. They're already heavily into different zero carbon fuel research and all that. So there's better places. I know we're not there yet, but we're close. And their engine is the most efficient of all any internal combustion engine right now.
Got a great one. Hassan just tweeted out, double points. We've waited nearly 3 years to say that.
Yeah. Gosh, that's right. It's been 3 years.
Yeah. So great day, fans.
Yeah.
With
regard to the protest, I'm not sure how those protesters figured they were making their point or advancing their efforts by disrupting the weekend for 140,000 plus people who gathered to watch a motor race. I mean, yes, these cars are making best use of fossil fuels as we have them right now, right out there at the cutting edge. But I wonder what those protesters thought of Sebastian Vettel flying around in Nigel Mansell's FW14B Williams, the all singing and dancing semi-automatic transmission, yada, 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 on sustainable fuel. No fossil fuels.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Did you see Vettel's flying around face? His grin ear to ear. Oh, he'd look like a 12-year-old on Christmas.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, so last on the sustainability. So on Monday, the F1 offices released a statement stating that the F1 offices are now using 100% renewable energy, with the company earning the highest sustainability management accreditation of a 3-star awarded by the FIA. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're way ahead
it's
of the
game. It's happening, people. It's happening. You know?
And you can guarantee Formula One will lead the way, as it has done.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So let's keep pushing and stop pulling.
There you go. Ever.
Yeah, and I can't wait till those fuels are available, because Porsche's they're investing in it, and those fuels are going to be available because in 20 years, that's what's going to be. You're going to still have combustion cars, but they're going to have different kinds of fuels that are zero carbon. So that's what will happen. All right, guys, we have 1 minute left. I know we touched on next week's race. Any final thoughts on that, Jonathan?
Next week's race?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be as interesting and intriguing, but in a different way.
Okay.
Because
it's a dramatically different circuit.
Exactly that reason.
Yep. What about you, Bob?
The hills will be alive with the sound of Formula One engines, and that's good enough for me.
Yep. There you go. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We really appreciate it. And you can always go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, and we have lots of content up there, SoundCloud, YouTube, and we also are very active on social media. So thanks for following, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Ciao, y'all.
Permission to buzz the tower.
Denied.
Everything's a subscription now. Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No. Anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Motivation USA, catering to the sport bike enthusiast looking for truly unique parts and accessories. Stand out from the crowd. Motivation is the exclusive North American distributor for SC Project Moto GP inspired exhausts and the largest Rizoma retailer in the United States. Get the best parts from around the world at the best prices with fast shipping and a knowledgeable staff ready to help. Shop online 24/7 at motivationusa.com. That's motivationusa.com.
When you leave the Circuit of the Americas today, you need to go check out our friends at Iron Wolf Ranch and Distillery, just 40 minutes west of Weird in the beautiful Spicewood, Texas. They produce a wide variety of unique, award-winning spirits, including bourbon, whiskeys, gin, vodka, and rums. They're kid and dog friendly with yard games and Crego's Pizza and Wings on site every weekend. Enjoy a full bar, tasting room, bottle purchases, and live music when you visit the ranch. Check them out on Facebook and Instagram, and always ask for Iron Wolf at your favorite bars and liquor stores across Texas. Iron Wolf Ranch and Distillery, bold spirits, Texas attitude.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Hello to everyone. This is Gunther Steiner. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
And it looks like we have a caller on the... We have John in New Jersey. Hey, John, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, as the case is here. I'll tell you what, Silverstone did not disappoint between qualifying and the race. It was phenomenal, phenomenal. It was great. And listen, I love listening to you guys. Bob Varsha, you're an icon, brother. I love listening to your insights. Two things, really. Can Chris get better equipment somehow, satellite or something, so he's not tethered to Wi-Fi?
Well, yes, we have.
We're working on it.
We've done all of that, and we've had pretty good luck. We've had 10 races. we've had 10 races, and we've only had this problem with two, but at least he's there, and at least he's getting those interviews.
We're getting there,
but yes, we are working on that.
Oh, copy that. And lastly, I've been following F1. I became a fan when Jackie Stewart was in his heyday. And so I love F1. I love everything about it. But you know what? Maybe I missed something. I never hear any updates on Michael Schumacher. And how is the guy doing? Does anybody have any insight, to what his status really is?
That's one of the things that I try to follow. And quite honestly, nobody of any consequence is giving any update. And so,
I heard,
you know, it was in the media
distribution the way,
early
that's
on.
That's the way the family wants it. They're keeping it very tight-lipped.
Yeah, and frankly, that's the way I kind of want it. I'm desperate to hear, too, because Michael, I spent a lot of my career at Formula One following his career and talking to him, and it's one of the saddest things. But, you know, he was such a great that I don't really, you know, I'm glad that they've taken this approach to it. And so, no, I don't either have any information.
Yeah.
Yeah, in our media distribution, we received a statement from the family early on just asking us not to use any other sources for information. And so, quite honestly, that we're obliging.
Yeah, and don't believe anything you may or may not read unless it's from his original team.
The family, right. Mm. Sabine Kim is manager, and she is
Willie Weber.
She runs the offices of Michael Schumacher, which is an organization that carries on. Certainly Mick's career is involved in all of that. And it's such a tough problem. Michael is in, my understanding is, and I could be wrong, he's in what the doctors call a persistent vegetative state, mm-hmm. which means he is alive, but, you know, communication's an issue, mobility's an issue, everything is an issue. Having said that, one guy who does get in to see him from time to time is Jean Todt, his former boss at Ferrari, former president of the FIA. And Jean has said some guardedly optimistic things. Not that we'll ever see Michael Schumacher walking down the street again, but that basically mm-hmm. we still have Michael Schumacher. And as long as that's the case, you know, hope springs eternal.
Yeah. And I therefore, the only thing I could say, and I got in trouble before when Mick was at Macau, I said, I'm sure Michael would be, you know, potentially watching something like that. That's how I understand it, because people thought I was saying he was coming back and all the rest of it. And I said, no, I just believe that, you know, he's not gone. And I'm sure he is being informed and keeping up with what his son is doing.
Yeah. Hmm. By the way, John in New Jersey, thank you for calling. We appreciate all the calls. We thank everybody for tuning in, and all the people that have been following us on YouTube and stuff. That's growing for us, and we really appreciate it. It's just another way for us to communicate with you. So we appreciate all that, all the questions. And speaking of that, there's Dixon has a comment. He says, considering how Perez recovered from his mistake, I think George Russell could have managed to be in the fight as well if he had stayed in his car and tried to get back into the pits. So, but yeah, we appreciate everybody joining us that way too. So, I want to talk about the protest, Jonathan.
Yeah. Have we got a caller?
No, we do not. We already with our last caller.
Yeah. All this drama was going on. What we didn't hear a lot of, it came across the headlines and it was dealt with very quickly. Leading up to the British Grand Prix, some environmental protesters had threatened to, basically do a sit-in protest, and they did. Sadly, when the red flag came out, a group of orange-clad, wearing colored orange, which is part of their protest. They are oil protesters, evidently. But of course, when you think about it, orange is the color of the marshals as well.
That's what they were trying to deceive.
They did physically sit on the track as the red flag came out. So it could have been really bad, but the marshals dealt with it. Northamptonshire police were right on the scene, and it was dealt with in a matter of minutes, and they have been taken into custody.
Mm. And I made this point, and you guys rebutted me during the break, is that they could find a better place to protest oil. I know you guys immediately said, hey, we got oil sponsors, but Formula One is trying to do zero carbon by 2030. They're already heavily into different zero carbon fuel research and all that. So there's mm-hmm. there's better places. I know we're not there yet, but we're close. And their engine is the most efficient of all any internal combustion engine right now.
Got a great one. Hassef mm-hmm. just tweeted out, double points. We've waited nearly 3 years to say that.
Yeah. Gosh, that's right. It's been 3 years.
Yeah, so great day, fans.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah,
with regard to the protest, I'm not sure how those protesters figured they were making their point or advancing their efforts by disrupting the weekend for 140,000 plus people who gathered to watch a motor race. I mean, yes, these cars are making best use of fossil fuels as we have them right now, right out there at the cutting edge. But I wonder what those protesters thought of Sebastian Vettel flying around in Nigel Mansell's FW14B Williams, the all singing and dancing semi-automatic transmission, yada, 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 on sustainable fuel. No fossil fuels.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Did you see Vettel's
flying around
face? His grin ear to ear to ear. He'd look like a 12-year-old on Christmas. Yeah. Yep.
Hey, so last on the sustainability. So on Monday, the F1 offices released a statement stating that the F1 offices are now using 100% renewable energy, with the company earning the highest sustainability management accreditation of a 3-star awarded by the FIA.
Yeah,
so they're way ahead.
It's
of the
happening,
game.
People. It's it's happening. You know,
and you can guarantee Formula One will lead the way as it has done.
Yep, yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah. So let's keep pushing and stop pulling.
There you go. Yep.
Yeah, and I can't wait till those fuels are available, because Porsche's doing they're investing in it, and those fuels are going to be available for, you know, because in 20 years that's what's going to be. You're going to still have combustion cars, but they're going to have different kinds of fuels that are zero carbon. So that's what'll happen. All right, guys, we have 1 minute left. I know we touched on next week's race. Any final thoughts on that, Jonathan?
Next week's race?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be as interesting and intriguing, but in a different way.
Okay.
Because
it's a dramatically different circuit.
Exactly that reason.
Yep. What about you, Bob?
The hills will be alive with the sound of Formula One engines, and that's good enough for me.
Yep. There you go. All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We really appreciate it. And you can always go to our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, and we have lots of content up there, SoundCloud, YouTube, and we also are very active on social media. So thanks for following, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Ciao, y'all.
Permission to buzz the tower.
Denied.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of 5-star reviews and an A+ rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year, because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces, like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.